Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
Well, Tony, it's that month again. It is September. It's Emergency Preparedness Month.
Oh, yes, that's right. No. Yeah, Emergency Preparedness. I love this. I love this time of month. I love talking about this topic. We've done shows similar to this many, many times. It's such a important topic to be discussing.
It really is.
Because a natural disaster is a thing that no one is expecting to happen, and then it does. I mean, some people might be expecting it to happen, but everyone's not expecting it to happen. And so the people that are unprepared are the ones who suffer, unfortunately.
That's right.
So we're talking about it so that you can
be prepared.
Prepare. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's really what Emergency Preparedness Month is all about. It's to remind you that things can happen.
And also Labor Day.
Yes. And anyway, things can happen and you should be prepared. So today on the show, we've got a few shows we're going to be talking about different things. This week, we're going to be talking about a bug out bag. And if you don't know what a bug out bag is.
A go bag.
A go bag is another word for it. It's something that you would have ready to go in the event of an emergency. It would be in a closet or under your bed or something. It would just be ready to go with all of the things that you could immediately say, we need to go now. You can grab that bag and it would sustain you and whoever you're with, your family, if that's your family, 72 hours. That's the idea behind a go bag or a bug out bag. Next week, we're going to cover a get home bag. It's the difference is that if you need to leave a situation, you can go. A get home bag is something that you would keep with you in your vehicle. If you go to work every day like me and Tony, and you're in your office and something happens, a tornado or, you know, civil unrest or an EMP or something, who knows? There's the list goes on, right? An earthquake. That's what we would deal with here in the Pacific Northwest more than likely is an earthquake. So you need to have things in your vehicle, preferably in a backpack or a bag, that would allow you to get home. If you work a mile from home, it's not that hard, right?
Sure.
You won't need very many things.
Right.
But if you're like, Tony, I mean, how many miles are you from work?
Oh, yeah.
15?
I travel for half an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not going to be walking home, probably.
Hopefully.
In one day.
Right.
You know, if all hell broke loose, and you had to walk from your office to your home to meet your family with no communications, that's what we're talking about. What sort of things would you need to get you home? I, for example, I work approximately 10 miles from home, and I have to cross several rivers, and if there's an earthquake that's going to happen in the Pacific Northwest, it is a known fact here in the Portland area that a majority of the bridges here in the Pacific Northwest would crumble in a heavy earthquake. So I'm probably not driving home. That's the reality. I would have to probably drive as far as I could, abandon my vehicle, and then get out and hoof it. And I would have to cross, oh man, I think something like 7 rivers and creeks.
Wow.
Yeah. It's significant.
I would, in your situation, I would be considering commandeering a helicopter. The problem with that is you have to know how to fly it.
Yeah, and buy one.
And then you have to buy it.
And where am I going to keep it?
Yeah, it's too much money.
Fly the chopper to work every day?
Walking home is probably more likely to be what happens.
If I did own a helicopter, if you owned a helicopter, would you just yell at your kids all the time, get to the chopper?
I might actually. Yeah.
That would be awesome. That'd be the best part.
So this is not going to necessarily be a an extensive or an all-inclusive list. Certainly there are things that could be added and maybe some things that might not be necessary, but we wanted to get you thinking along the lines of how you might start putting together a bag that you would keep at your home specifically to get you to keep you safe for 72 hours.
Right.
Regardless of what the situation might be. It might be summer. It might be winter. It might be raining. It might be scorching. Whatever the situation is, hopefully we've got some ideas for some things that you could put in a bag that would keep you safe for 72 hours, you and whoever you're with.
Yeah, you really touched on a point there because it really depends on your situation. If it's in the middle of wintertime and you live in Central Oregon, where it gets down into the teens, single digits, negatives, and you need to bug out, you need to have certain things in your bag to keep you alive in that cold.
Right.
Versus
right.
if you live in Arizona in the middle right. of wintertime. It's a little right. different, right?
Right.
So you just have to think about the situation you're in, the time of the season, all of that stuff. So this is just a generalized list of things. The very first one on the list, Tony, is water. Probably the most important thing. Water.
You can go 3 days without water and 21 days without food. That would make water the most important thing.
Yeah. 3 days, ideally you want to have 3 liters of water to take with you.
Man, that's a lot of water.
I know. 3 liters. Think about that. Per person.
On hand.
So if you've got a...
How are you carrying 3 liters for you and 3 liters for your...
Your children? Well, I've got 2 kids. So here's the thing with my house. We have 2 bug out bags. I have one that I carry and one that my wife carries. And then 2 little kids. My daughter's actually getting to the age now where she could probably carry her own. So you just have to think about the situation. I mean, if you've got a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, you're not going to be having them slough their own water around, right? It's
3 liters of water is a lot to carry for one person.
That's the idea. 1 liter per day per person. And then, but you also want to have things like water purification tablets or maybe a portable water filter. I have a large one in my main kit that I can hang on a tree and pour water in the top, and it'll filter up to, it's got like a 3-gallon capacity. So that one I'm good with, you know, but for our go bags, our bug out bags, we have water straws. So we can, it's just a literal straw. It's like a fat straw that you put down in water and drink.
It filters the water as you draw it up through the straw. Interesting.
Correct.
Very interesting. Well, however it is that you go about it, 3 liters of water is what you'll need for those 72 hours.
Right.
And whether you're packing it with you or you have a device that allows you to
filter it
so that you're protected when you drink it, that is, you have to address that issue.
Yeah. And the last thing on there is to have something to put the water in. If your water purification tablets, if you need to use those, or if you're using a portable water filter that you want to be able to keep filling, you want to have something to put water into, either a collapsible water bottle or like a hydration bladder.
Yeah, like a Camelback.
Yeah, Camelback.
It's just a brand name of kind of, you know, you wear it like a backpack kind of, and it holds a bunch of water. That would be a great thing. You could strap that right onto the outside of your bag.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next one on the list, Tony, is food, nutrition.
M&M's.
That's not a bad...
M&M's and Pop-Tarts.
A bad choice. I mean, you want to have non-perishable, but you want to have high-calorie stuff, you know, energy bars, MREs, meals ready to eat, canned food, trail mix, nuts, dried fruit, things like that. But the one thing to keep in mind is that you can't pack it away in there and then leave it for years.
Right.
You need to...
I mean, MREs you can.
Yeah.
They're freeze-dried.
But there are things...
They'll keep for a long time.
Maybe an energy bar might be good for a year or 2 years even. But you want to cycle through that stuff. Anything that you have stored that you're going to be consuming, go through it, replace it every so often. Maybe eat it, use it, do whatever you need to do with it, donate it. But cycle through it so that when you jump in there and need to go, You don't have a bunch of old stuff. And then the last one, of course, is utensils, some way to eat the food that you have. And again, think about the amount of people that you're caring for.
Spork.
A spork. Yeah, I wrote spork.
Part spoon, part fork.
That's right.
Spork. It's the only utensil you need. They need to take that spork and sharpen one edge of the handle or something. Make it a spork-ife.
A sprife?
Yeah, a sprife. Yeah, that's good.
What else we got, Tony?
Shelter and warmth. Also, obviously, very, very important. There are a lot of things that you can put inside of a bag that are very compact. One of those foil sort of thermal blankets, space blanket. We call them a space blanket because it doesn't take up very much space.
Oh, is that why they're called a space
blanket? No, it's because they use them in space.
Yeah, and I always thought about that during space camp.
Oh, really?
When I was a kid growing up, everyone wanted to go to space camp.
Yeah, and no, I don't know space. I don't know why I think of it as a space blanket, but it's a thermal blanket, right? That's very thin.
Yeah, like foil.
Yeah, like foil
faced.
Unlike a sleeping bag, which takes up a lot of space, does the same job. A sleeping bag's going to work a little bit better, but you have to make conscious decisions about what is the most important thing, and adding a sleeping bag to your bag, to your water, if you're carrying water, I mean, at some point, you got to leave something behind.
Well, I mean, I would consider a sleeping bag important for me and my family, depending on the time of year. If it was in the summertime, not as important, probably get away with a thermal blanket or something like that. But if it were in the fall, winter, springtime, sleeping bag would definitely be a high priority. They are bigger. You can get them pretty small. But they also aren't terribly heavy. So I'm more worried about weight than size. So a sleeping bag for me would be a higher priority on the list.
Yeah, I feel like, obviously when I'm thinking about warmth, I'm thinking about fire. And I feel like that's going to be super essential. A sleeping bag seems like, in this situation, 72 hours, unless it's 30 below. I feel like a sleeping bag might be, it might be a luxury.
Tell that to your 10-year-old.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
or your wife.
I'm not going to have a 10-year-old with me. So
I guarantee your wife's top or higher priority would be
fire.
A sleeping bag.
No, not over fire.
I don't know.
Anyway,
a lighter is, or matches is very, very small.
Right. No. I mean, I'm not saying either or. I'm saying I'm focusing on getting my heat from the fire.
I
don't think that the sleeping bag is going to be the primary supplier of my heat. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Not to mention, if I'm crossing rivers, how hard is it going to be for me to keep a sleeping bag dry? I don't know. I think about these things. A lightweight tent or tarp. Now, a tent will definitely fold up even smaller than a sleeping bag, I think. A tent.
It can, yeah.
But you can't have a fire inside the tent. That's the problem. Well, you can, just once.
Yeah. just one time.
Yeah. Well, a compact sleeping pad is a really good idea. I mean, maybe rolling that up with your sleeping bag, probably.
It all really depends on your situation. But it's a good idea.
But a poncho or some sort of waterproof clothing, rain gear.
Very important.
Very important. That's good. I mean, the ability to stay dry if it's raining is going to be huge to your survival. If it's cold and rainy, that's a bad combination, obviously. Extra clothes, extra socks, underwear, layering your clothes is a good idea. When you're grabbing your bag and you're leaving, maybe you've layered clothes already. That's a good way to go.
And depending on your environment, of course.
Right.
Your climate, hat, gloves, thermal layers.
Absolutely. It's a good idea to have gloves, some sort of gloves, even if they're not thermal gloves, some sort of gloves in the bag for sure.
Mm-hmm. Next on the list is first aid, hygiene.
Yes.
You need to have a good first aid kit with bandages, antiseptics, pain relievers, prescription medications. You want to have at least a 3-day supply of anything that's important to you that you take as far as prescription medications go. Sanitary wipes, hand sanitizer. toiletries such as toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, toilet paper. When you're out in it, you know, in an emergency, it's some of those little things that will help you, A, stay healthy. You don't want to have bad hygiene, especially if you're out and there's no emergency services. You can't just run to a doctor.
Right.
You know, you need to take those things with you. Feminine hygiene products, obviously, if they're applicable to your situation.
Feminine hygiene products sometimes can be used for more things than the primary function.
You're right. Actually, we talk about this because we created a secondary list here that we'll go over later. But
oh, it's on the secondary. We talked about it, I knew that there was some conversation about that. I didn't know it was in a secondary list. We'll come back to it.
Well, we can throw it out right now. One of the things on the list is tampons. Besides their primary use, they can be used as wound dressings and fire tender. So,
also, if you get a bloody nose, it can stop that.
Yeah. There are many uses. So
many, many uses.
Those are handy to have on in your bug out
bag. And they're small and compact, easy to pack.
I believe you. All right. Next one on the list, Tony, is tools and multi-purpose gear. You want to have a multi-tool.
Absolutely.
That has a knife, a screwdriver, a pair of pliers in it.
Scissors, probably.
Literally.
File.
It's in the name. Multi-tool.
Yeah.
Those things are awesome.
Those really are. Those are very cool.
A small roll of duct tape. I've actually seen where people will take duct tape and re-roll it without the cardboard center.
Interesting.
So they'll take, like, you don't need a whole 250-foot roll of duct tape. They'll take a roll and just start flat wrapping it back, you know, onto itself, like re-rolling it and then packing it flat. So it fits in your bag nice.
Smart.
Yeah. And you've got whatever you need, 20 feet, 10 feet, 30 feet of just duct tape.
That is very smart.
Duct tape can be very handy in many situations.
Duct tape is indeed
another one is
multi-use tool.
Paracord, 25 to 50 feet, can be used for shelter building, repairs. One of the things that I have in my kit is I have a hefty roll of paracord, but I also have a little guide that's printed on, like, credit card style. It's like a Rolodex of, like, plastic printed sheets that has all kinds of useful knots. So I don't really know a ton of knots, but in an emergency, I have this little guide that I can peel out, and it teaches you how to tie them and different uses for each one. So be handy to have.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lot of time to learn to tie knots or weren't in the Boy Scouts like I wasn't.
Earlier we were talking about staying warm, and we're talking about sleeping bags and blankets. Lighter, matches, and other fire-starting tools.
In a waterproof container.
Packed in a waterproof container. And so we did already talk about what we would be burning, something that burns, right? We'll have to have something that burns, tinder or whatever, but a way to start the fire is a good idea. No need, if you had to, I guess you could use your paracord and a stick, but you won't find me out there trying to do that,
A bow drill.
Bow drill fire starting technique.
I've never actually started like a primitive fire like that. I've never tried it.
I actually did one time, not with a bow drill, but with a battery and triple-aught
steel wool.
Oh, yeah.
You've done that.
Yeah, I've done it. I actually did it, which is, I practiced with it before I was out hunting in the situation where I actually finally needed it. But all of the different things that I had in this Ziploc bag, which I put in my side pocket every day that I went out in case I got stuck out there somewhere. And it had been in there for so long. It was everything in there was dry. It was like dry, 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 falling apart dry. And the battery was new because I replaced the battery every year. But I'll tell you what, it lit it right now, really fast.
Interesting.
And all the other things that I had in there all burned very quickly. So yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. One thing that I always like to do with the fire is to have it redundant. Have a lighter, have matches, have other fire starting tools in that waterproof container, but have them all. There's no reason to just have a lighter.
Sure, right, right.
You know, to say, oh, I have a lighter, we're good.
These are tiny little things. These, yeah. You can fit
matches,
a lot of this stuff in
matches
that.
Weigh nothing.
Right.
You could have a match book, a separate from hard stick, you know, they light in anything. Windproof
right.
matches.
Yeah.
Things like that, because you just never know when you get into a situation. You don't, how many horror movies have you seen, Tony, where they're down to that last match?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just like, can't get that fire going.
I don't ever want to be in that situation.
Me neither.
A folding knife. A survival knife, like a big Bowie knife, or maybe a saw, a folding saw that you can cut branches and sticks and wood if you come across something that you need to clear. Having a nice foldable saw is a great idea to have. A flashlight, a headlamp, and extra batteries.
Always extra batteries. Yeah.
I actually have some emergency lights in my kit that are headlamps that charge. So you charge them up. So every so often I'll grab them and I'll plug them into the USB. They'll be fully charged. But the nice part is, later down the list, I've got battery packs, like those lithium battery packs.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily keep them fully charged in my kit, but I have them accessible. So I would grab them on the way. But they're nice to have because you can recharge your phone, like on the ones that I have. I can recharge my phone from empty probably 2 or 3 full times.
Wow.
In things like a rechargeable lamp, I could recharge easily.
Wow.
And I've even got some lamps that are solar, that fold, that pack flat. I got them at REI.
Smart.
And then you blow them up. So they're like little lanterns, but you blow them up and then they fill up with air and it's like a little canister. And then the solar thing is at the top and the light, and it lights up the whole canister. They're really nice.
Huh, that's smart. You know what lights up that doesn't need to be charged?
Glow sticks.
Glow sticks. Also pretty small, compact, very easy to use. They last a long time. Inexpensive. Pack some glow sticks in there. It's a good way to light up, illuminate your scenario.
They do expire. I don't know if you knew that.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. It's a long time, but keep an eye on it. You know, you don't want to be in a position where you pop those things open, crack them, and then they don't do anything.
Right. That's for sure.
As with almost anything in your emergency kit, even if you have one here, this is your reminder. Go out, open it, and go through everything. Inventory
yep.
it. Remember things that you have in there that you might not have, and replace them or buy new, or, you know, add to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, when I'm thinking about the bag, I'm thinking about what's in it. I'm thinking about what's on it, what's attached to it, what's wrapped around it, what's hanging from it. You know what I mean? Because in order to make this thing work, you really want it to be able to grab and go, which means if it doesn't fit inside, it needs to attach somehow to the outside. But I keep my bag sitting on top of my steel-toed boots. So when I grab my bag, I grab my boots, or I put them on.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need to be carrying them. If I know I'm getting out in it, just put them on.
Yeah,
but
you
have them together.
If you got to go, obviously depends on your situation. But you don't want to be leaving the house in flip-flops. You want to be wearing sturdy shoes, or like Tony said, steel-toed boots, hiking boots, something like that.
Unless you're listening to this and you live on the beach in Hawaii. If you're going to just run down the beach, then, flip-flops might be the thing. Just saying. All situations, right?
I suppose.
I mean, I'm probably going to have to go cross-country, and I'm probably going to need steel-toed boots. But if I lived in Aruba,
you might just want flip-flops.
I might just want flip-flops.
I think I can't think of a single situation. I would never go out in an emergency situation wearing flip-flops. If I had the choice, if I'm standing at the door with my go bag on my backpack, on my back, And I look down and I say, should I put my flip-flops on or my hiking boots? I'm going to choose the hiking boots every time.
Okay.
Weather-appropriate clothing, obviously. Yeah. Bandanas are good to have.
Very good to have.
Multiple uses.
So many.
Dust mask, bandage, sun protection.
Layers. Very important.
Next one on the list, Tony, is navigation and communication. One of the things to keep in mind, depending on the emergency, is you may not have access to any sort of cellular service. For example, here in the Pacific Northwest, our biggest fear is earthquakes. They say the big one is coming. And when we say big, it's like the biggest.
9.5.
Yes, the biggest earthquake known to man is going to be hitting the Pacific Northwest at some point in the next 100 years, 200 years, something like that. We don't know.
I mean, it's even got a name.
The Cascadia Subduction Zone.
Yeah.
And when that thing pops, they say it's going to be enormous. So it's going to knock out everything. It's going to collapse bridges, buildings. We will have no power, no gas, no electricity, no water, no cell phones. So for us, it's important to have a paper map. A real paper map of your surroundings, where maybe even mark on there where fire stations are. You could talk to your city planners if you know where meeting points are for emergency services. Because at some point, they're going to bring in the cavalry. They're going to be flying choppers in and landing in areas setting up emergency services. And you need to know how to get there, you know? Everybody knows how to jump on the freeway and get to there where they need to go usually, or punch it into their phone and ask Siri to take them there.
Right.
But you won't have that luxury in every situation. So having a paper map or an old TomTom, an old GPS, a real GPS device, that could be useful. A compass is useful. A portable phone charger. Like I was saying earlier, having a solar charger or a battery-powered power bank. Those things are super handy to have. Another thing would be to have a waterproof notepad and pen. Handy to have in case you got to leave a note for any situation. Good to have. Next thing on the list is personal protection.
Yeah, this is going to be very important. We're actually now, since the pandemic, we are no stranger to protecting what we breathe, protecting ourselves from what we're breathing. And so N95 mask or other face coverings for dust, smoke, or whatever might be going on, this natural disaster is likely to bring with it things that you are unexpected, you are not expecting. And so be prepared to protect what you're
breathing,
allowing to come into your face,
your
through
lungs,
your nostrils, and your lungs. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like you said earlier, work gloves. You got to be manhandling debris, helping people out. I don't know if you've ever been in I know you have, demoed a house.
Yes.
Well, when there's an earthquake and the house has collapsed, it's basically a construction demo zone.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be jumping in there with raw hands. It could be a lot of
yucky stuff,
chemicals, fluids, construction materials, nails, concrete. So having a nice pair of gloves, protective eyewear, very good to have in your kit. And then as far as safety goes and personal protection, maybe some pepper spray or maybe a firearm.
Make sure you secure the pepper spray really well. You don't want that accidentally going off in your bag.
Pepper spray?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually own pepper spray and I have it in my kit. And the ones that I bought, they come in their own little hard case, and they would be almost impossible.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Buy it so that it is packaged in a way that it won't accidentally, because I've seen someone reach into their bag to pull out their keys. They used to have these little pepper spray things that went right onto your key ring, and it had a little leather case and a top that went over the top. And I watched somebody pull their keys out of their bag and accidentally spray that pepper spray.
Oh, my.
And man, oh, man, that stuff is potent. And it doesn't have to, you don't have to spray it right in your face to have it affect you. If it's sprayed anywhere around you, it will affect you. So, yeah. And you don't want that accidentally going off.
Don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
Next one on the list, Tony, is cash and documents. You want to have a little bit of cash, small bills, coins. I don't know about so much coins anymore, but bills for sure have some in a bunch of them, like ones, fives, tens, twenties, hundreds. Sometimes you got to pay your way out of situations. Some people might want cash.
You know what? Coins would be really good to have.
Gold, vending machines.
Gold Krugerrands from Africa.
Gold Krugerrands?
Yep. They're made from pure gold. 1 troy ounce of gold in every coin.
Where the heck do you buy those?
In Africa. Well, you can buy them online. You can buy them online. But it's an African currency. Krugerrand. It's very common.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's available everywhere.
Everywhere?
I mean, you can buy them since like 1967 or something like that. They've been making them that long.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you can buy it. I mean, you want to be careful where you buy it if you're buying it because you want to make sure that it's legit. You want to buy it from a gold seller probably, but you'll see it. You look it up online. They're very commonly purchased and sold. In 1985, it was against the law for us to purchase African currency and own it. It was against the law for us to purchase it, but that law was later reversed, and now we can. All I'm saying is you can buy these coins, and they are literally worth exactly their weight in gold. As long as gold is worth whatever gold is worth, that's what it's worth.
That seems a little excessive. Those things are online, $2,600 each.
Well, that one, that's probably a mint version, really pretty, never been owned. You can buy a coin that was in circulation. You can buy circulated coins.
Yeah, but gold is how much an ounce right now?
It's over 2,000.
Sorry, Googling.
Yeah, it's probably 2,200 or 20-something hundred.
2,600.
2,600.
So, yeah, those things are selling for basically...
The price of gold. There's a little bit of money in there. But if you buy the pre-circulated coins...
They're still going to be 2,600 an ounce.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is there's no extra money in there.
I know, but what I'm saying is that seems a little excessive. I don't know if I'd be walking around with, tens of thousands of dollars in gold.
I didn't say tens of thousands. Well, I mean, maybe you just have
three of them.
Yeah.
Is tens of thousands.
But think about how easily that would be to barter with.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean,
I'll buy your boat.
It's for gold.
Four coins.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think to myself about this money, cash. I think to myself, in certain situations, it could begin to lose its value. I don't know what those situations are. Yeah. I'm just saying it could.
You know what I'm going to take to barter?
It's my experience that gold does not lose its value.
I'm going to take a pack of Marlboro Reds.
That will probably do it too. That's a good idea.
Barter those.
That's a really good idea. I don't think that I would want to take a bar of gold, but some coins be purchased.
You do that. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that. But I think having cash.
You'll be coming to me.
Some sort of cash is fine. Well,
Tony's got gold.
If you got tens of thousands of dollars in cash or in gold,
yeah,
I do know where you live. So anyway, cash, that's cash. And then documents, you want to have copies of your ID, insurance information.
Yes.
Any sort of important documents.
In a waterproof bag.
That mean anything to you, put it in a waterproof bag and take it with you. A contact list is good. Because here's the thing, if your phone dies, which it very well could, or if it doesn't work, and you get to somewhere where they have communications set up, and you need to dial out. Are you going to know your...
Well, not many. I have a few. My brain is capable of carrying a few phone numbers.
Yeah, mine's even less.
I know your number.
I know yours, too.
Okay, so, I do dial your number, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So, Yeah, but, I mean, if you're calling from your cell phone only, then that would be one where you wouldn't remember that. But if you're calling, if you call somebody often enough that you call them from a landline and you're dialing the number, then you that might be a number you have in your memory.
I couldn't
bank.
Tell you my mom's number. I couldn't tell you my sister's number.
Yeah.
I just tell Siri to call her. but anyway, they're just good to have, like a small contact list of numbers to put in your kit. It's good to have. Next one on the list, Tony, for health and comfort, you want to have things like sunscreen, insect repellent.
Yes.
Obviously, depends on where you live. You live in the South. Here in the Pacific Northwest, bugs aren't that big of a deal. We don't really deal with mosquitoes and things.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you live in an area where insects are a problem, I would definitely keep some DEET, 100% DEET in my bag.
If it's cold outside, if some of those winter months, chapstick. That, I mean, you don't want to be running around out there without some Carmex or something for your
absolutely
for your lips.
Another one to have is a small mirror. You know, it's
like a compact.
Yeah, they make mirrors specifically for signaling, and you could use them for other things like personal care if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like a little hole in the middle, so then you can look through it and signal a helicopter or airplanes or something.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
I have one in my kit.
Really, that's cool.
A lightweight towel would be good to have in case you got to dry off or bathe. Sunglasses. I can't leave home without my sunglasses.
Man, you have 42 pairs of sunglasses.
I demand eye protection.
How many pairs of sunglasses are you going to take? Like four? Because you also need to be, you feel the need to be stylish and also... You know, your eyes need to be covered.
All of my sunglasses are stylish, so it wouldn't matter. Just take one pair, maybe two.
One pair that matches your sweatshirt and one pair that matches your shoes.
Just one pair.
Yeah, sunglasses is a good idea. Some sort of protective lenses. Maybe what you're taking is those yellow lenses or those blue lenses. The ones that brighten things up and make them, maybe you take both. Something that brightens things up.
Like my shooting glasses.
And something that that darkens things down.
Yeah.
For two different scenarios.
Well, they're good to have.
Agreed.
Some other miscellaneous items would be like a sewing kit. Good to have. Energy bars. We talked about those. And a small portable radio.
Yes.
And I'm going to throw a couple other things on this list. It might be on my... I can't remember if I wrote it on my obscure list, but games, cards.
Something to break up the
time.
Yeah.
You got to have something, especially if you have a family, is have something to...
Pass the time. Yeah, that's a really good tip.
All right, let's jump into this other list, Tony. This is a whole group of things that I just came up with, all of these things, doing some research, writing down... all kinds of things. And I actually have a lot of these in my kit just because they're easy and some of them are just household. Like, for instance, the very first one, contractor trash bags. 6 mil trash bags.
Yes.
You can have those.
Multiple uses.
Multiple uses. Great for waterproofing.
Great for a poncho.
Yep, poncho. You could create a shelter out of them. And, you know, and when I'm... thinking about my kit, my emergency get out kit, I think about other people. And I'm going to come into a situation. It's going to happen where here's me, my two kids, and my wife. We're perfectly dry because we have our stuff, right? But I also have in my kit several contractor trash bags. And if I come across somebody that maybe doesn't have a poncho or maybe doesn't have a shelter, I'm like, hey, here's something to help you.
Right.
So I always think about that in helping other people. Like the kit that I have isn't just for myself and my family. I want to have a few things in there to help other people. A Fresnel lens. You know what that is?
I do not.
It's a flat, lightweight magnifying lens. And you can use them to start fires just like you would... with a magnifying glass.
With the light from the sun, huh?
Yeah, yep. But they're also good for, you know, reading small maps, small text, It's a nice little magnifying glass called a Fresnel lens.
Probably have to be really careful, though, if you're using the lens to read the map.
With the sun at your back.
Yeah, you got to be very careful not to catch your map on fire. Yeah,
don't be that guy.
Coffee filters is a good thing to have. You use that to help pre-filter water, especially chunky water. Obviously, you're going to still use purification tablets or your water straw after, but this is a good way to get the big stuff out.
Yeah. And they're also good for fire starter.
You can burn them. Yeah, yep. That's good.
And they're very lightweight. They're very small. You can roll them up, put them in a kit, and you more than likely already have some in your house. Dental floss, it's good to have in your hygiene kit. The nice part about dental floss is it's strong. It's lightweight. You can use it for fishing lines, repairs, or even emergency sutures in a situation.
Interesting.
I probably wouldn't get the spearmint flavored.
Not if you're going to suture your your lacerations.
Just get regular old plain dental floss.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Aluminum foil. I know you've got probably aluminum foil in your cupboard right now.
Yep.
You can take a couple sheets, maybe a little bit, flatten it out, and pack it in just some random pocket to have. You can use it for so many different things. You can put it in fashion as a reflective surface for starting a fire if need be.
You can use it as a plate when you're, if you're cooking some kind of vegetables
signaling,
or meat or something.
It's shiny. Yeah. So lots of uses for aluminum foil. It wouldn't hurt to throw a little bit in your kit. A candle. Especially if you got those trick candles.
The ones that won't blow out?
Right. Those birthday stick candles.
Yeah.
They are great for starting fires in really windy or wet conditions.
Oh, that's
conditions.
A really good idea.
Yeah.
They're so hard to get them to go. I mean, they want to just keep burning.
Yeah.
That's pretty
smart. If I were going to put
one. Why isn't everything that you want to burn made out of that?
Right. What I was going to say is if I'm going to put that in there, I'm going to put them in a separate bag and I'm going to label them trick candles. So that way I know if I'm in a situation where I don't necessarily want to continue to burn a candle, that I know for a fact that that's what I'm lighting, because that could be bad.
Yeah. Safety pins is a good thing to have. Safety pins are used for, obviously, we all know what safety pins are used for, but they have... When I need a safety pin, nothing else will do. This is what I'm trying to say. When you need a safety pin, nothing else will do.
You said that twice.
When you need a safety pin, nothing else will do.
Yeah, securing gear, repairing clothes, maybe even making a makeshift fishing hook.
Yeah.
Safety pins are fantastic.
They are.
To put in your kit. Super glue, it's another good one. If you run into a situation where, maybe the sole ripped on your boot or your shoe, or, they're even good for temporary sutures for a wound, an open wound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pinch it together and use super glue.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to use it on something major. You don't want to get super glue inside of a wound. But if you've got a cut, a laceration, you can use it on small ones.
Did you know that crayons will burn?
Yeah, it's wax.
For 30 minutes. That is very interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why I put it in here. One of the things about crayons is they're great if you have a little bit of paper.
Is it just the paper around the crayon that burns?
No, it's the crayon.
So the wax burns.
Yeah. So you can light them on fire, use them as a candle, but they're also nice to have for the kids. You can keep them in the kit. Last opportunity, you could burn them.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. The next one on the list, Tony, binder clips. We've all seen binder clips. We probably have a million of them in the office, but they're really handy to have for securing tarps, clothing, paperwork, small food storage. Like if you have a bag that doesn't have a Ziploc type closure on it, you can wrap it up, roll it up, put a little binder clip on it.
Yeah, binder clip's a good idea. Zip ties is another really good one. You putting two things together, tying things onto your bag, tying things onto your body, tying things up, part of your structure, putting your structure together.
Yeah.
So many different things that zip
making
ties
repairs.
Are good for.
And here's another one that's kind of a, you know, might
ooh,
you don't think about.
Temporary handcuffs.
Yeah, temporary handcuffs. You never know what situation you're going to get yourself into. When an emergency happens, people go a little crazy, right? And if you're ever in a situation where you need to tie someone up, maybe they're dangerous, maybe they're
having a little bit of a breakdown and they're a danger to themselves and others.
Maybe
they need to be subdued.
You just never know.
Maybe they need to be hogtied.
The situation that you might get yourself into.
Yeah. If you only have the little zip ties, would you just zip tie them to each other and then put them around, like, say, their
toes,
their middle finger or their thumb?
Like, just zip, just
the right middle? Around the small of their thumb and just, you know, tie their thumbs together behind
or,
their back.
Or you could get bigger zip ties.
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe you only have the little ones left. Then you just zip tie their thumbs. They're not going to pull those thumbs off. Well, they might.
They might.
Depends on how dangerous they are. Fishing gear is a good thing to have.
Fishing gear, small. They make these really small kits of all the stuff you need. Bobbers, weights, fishing line, you know, or you can use a dental floss, but making an improvised fishing setup is... You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, we say 3 days, but in a situation for us in the Pacific Northwest, in the big one hits, the Cascadia subduction zone crashes down on us, that's going to be more than 3 days.
Man.
Where they estimate, I have seen estimates, that we won't see emergency services for 2 weeks. Man. It could potentially be chaos for 2 weeks. So... Take that into consideration.
Can you imagine just going out and fishing for your dinner? Like, I'm going to go catch dinner.
Yeah.
And then fishing for your
dinner.
Do what
you got to do, right?
Starting a fire, you know, cleaning that fish with one of your knives, and using some foil to cook it over an open flame.
I know some people that would think that's heaven.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I'm a little separated from it, but I can imagine it is what I'm saying. Yeah. I can imagine it. Glow-in-the-dark tape. That sounds cool. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, they make it. It's almost like duct tape, but it glows in the dark. It's good to have for, you know, you never know, situations. Marking trails, zippers, mm-hmm. you know, make gear easy to see in the dark.
If
you rip your pants.
Tape it up.
And then everyone can see where you rip your pants.
Because it's in the dark.
Hey, why is your butt glowing? Oh, I ripped my pants.
I ripped my pants.
Magnifying mirror. It's kind of like it's a little different than a Fresnel lens, but you could use it for signaling. We talked about that earlier, but also checking wounds. If you're by yourself and you get something on your back, having a mirror with you is very good to have. Next one on the list is compressed towels. Have you seen these things?
No.
They're very small.
Maybe I have.
They're tiny. And then when you soak them in water, they expand really big. So you can use them for cleaning or personal hygiene.
You can use them over and over, or do they fall apart?
Sure, but they pack really, really small.
Interesting. That's smart. Yeah. Compressed towels. That's a really good idea.
Yep. Next one is potassium permanganate.
Wow.
Yeah. It's useful for water purification, fire starting with glycerin, and as a disinfectant.
Interesting. Potassium permanganate.
Permanganate. That's a fun word to say.
Never even heard of that.
Metal wire.
Yes.
You could use it for snares, if you got to set traps. But gear repairs.
Probably a little thinner gauge than baling wire. Not like baling wire. Something thinner than that.
Yeah, totally. It would be...
Maybe like cable like 1/8-inch cable or...
No, it's much thinner than that. I don't honestly know the gauge of it, but it's easily bendable.
Interesting. So using that to catch small game, like a bunny or something like that.
A little snare. If you've ever watched Alone, a lot of people on that show bring... snare wire.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Chapstick. We said that earlier. That's a really good one.
That was already in there.
I'll tell you what, Corey, when my lips are chapped, I can't think about anything else.
Me too.
It consumes me. Like, I'm like, oh, my lips are on fire. And all I can think about is getting lip balm, chapstick, Carmex, whatever it is.
I think I have an addiction.
Even to the point, even to the point that I would walk up to you and I would say, Corey, I don't care that you've been sucking on the end of that thing for a week. I need your lip balm on my lips.
Yeah.
Like now. You know what I'm saying? I would all of that, those things just go out the window. I don't even care anymore. Just
I probably have 20 chapsticks.
I need my lips repaired immediately.
I am not exaggerating when I say I have 20 of them.
Yeah.
My favorite one, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not sponsored by them at all, but Portland Lip Balm Company.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's called Portland Lip Balm.
It's Burt's Bees for me. I like Burt's Bees.
Oh, really?
Burt's Bees Original. Also, their pomegranate is really good.
Portland Bee Balm.
Interesting.
Portland Bee Balm.
I've seen this on the shelf.
This is the single best chapstick in the world
really?
That I've ever used. Portland Bee Balm. It is unbelievable. It's way better than Burt's Bees.
Oh, well, good. I would trust your opinion on that, because you came from a place where your lips were cold all the time. And, I feel like I don't get chapped lips very often, but when I do, I definitely want it to go away immediately.
Yeah, the Yuzu Citrus is my favorite.
All right.
Or the Oregon Mint. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, that's...
go check it out. Soap. I'm going to buy soap. Portland Bee Balm. Anyway, moving on.
they do not sponsor us.
Here's another random item that is good to have. Silica gel packets. You know what those are, Tony?
I mean, I feel like we're not talking about the thing that they put in meat to keep the moisture from
causing
it to mold.
They put them in anything that you buy that's shipped overseas usually. You'll get these little packs with these little white little beads inside.
Yeah, and it draws moisture in.
Yeah, exactly.
Silica
gel packs.
What would you do with that?
So what I would do with it, I actually have them. And every time we buy something and it comes with those in it, I take them out and I store them. I keep them in the thing. If you ever drop your phone or an electronic in water, I throw it in that bag and it immediately draws all the moisture out of whatever is in it.
Interesting. And like rice, huh?
But 10 times
better.
And if you have things stored in your go bag, Ziplocs or whatever, you can throw those things all over the place and it will keep those things drier. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so, that's a very good idea.
Very handy to put in there. It's kind of an obscure item, but it helps keep your things from getting moldy
or musty. Right. Yeah, that's smart.
Last couple things on my list, Tony. Hair ties. They're great for hair, securing gear, tying things down, or an improvised tourniquet if need be in
just
an emergency.
Just the little round hair ties you're talking about, the stretchy ones?
My kids, scrunchies.
My kids call them ponytails or ponies.
Ponies.
Yep.
A small reflective blanket or tarp. We kind of already had those, they provide warmth. Cotton balls with petroleum jelly.
Oh, now that's a fire starter there.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's going to go. Another really good tip is collect dryer lint from your dryer and put it into
toilet paper rolls.
Well, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. Or also an egg carton. Get an egg carton that you've eaten all of the eggs, save the carton, fill each of those little egg slots with lint from your dryer trap, your lint trap, and that also makes a very good fire starter.
We save all of our dryer lint, and we have probably... Right now, currently, I probably have about 20 of them. We use toilet paper rolls when it gets down to nothing and there's just the roll.
Yeah.
We stuff them in there.
The lint.
Yeah, the lint. And they're awesome. Those make amazing fire starters.
You've lit one, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be saying that.
Yeah. Because lint is very flammable as it is. And
then
it comes with a little paper casing. They're fantastic. We have a whole, I'll show them to you. We have a whole thing full of them.
What are your plans to do with them?
Just fire starting. you know, going camping.
Do you start a lot of fires?
Of course we do.
Well, I mean, if you want to share some of those, yeah. I'm up for starting a few fires for you.
You got your own lint
at my
just
house.
Saying. That's a good idea. Let's do it.
No, I do like it. It's good.
Anyway, that's about it. We've got, I know there's a lot more things that could go into your bug out bag. If you have any comments about our list, if you think anything on there we're missing, or you think anything that's we said that you say, nah, that should not be in there, let us know. Shoot us an email. We're at weekendwarriors@par.com. You can go to our YouTube channel, check it out. It's /WW Home Show. It's youtube.com/WW Home Show. Or /@Par Lumber. Or you can just search at Par Lumber.
Yep. At Par Lumber.
Yep. Find us. If you want to send this podcast to any of your friends, go ahead and do that. Make sure you hit like on it, and we would definitely appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
We'll see you next time.